He made us like bouncers. Hey, him in rehearsals, he was right there.
Right.
It's a hard song to start, know where to start at. Amen. Glad to see. Our reading today together is Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7 from the New Living Translation. Let's read together.
I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell his children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us in our past, Lord, in our present, and in our future's coming.
Yes.
Thank you again for everything that you've given us, and we ask that you continue to bless this service with your spirit, Lord, and thank you for all the family represented. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yes.
Love songs. Mm-hmm. Who better to sing love songs to than the one who loves us the most?
Yeah.
You would fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, I know when some of y'all in love with human beings, I see how you act. And some of y'all be trying to sing too.
Right.
So you gonna really sing to somebody who actually is worthy of your love?
Yes.
We all get to join in on this one. Amen.
It's the best thing not ever.
Falling in love with Jesus.
No, that's not what you said. We'll talk about it later. Hey, y'all. All right. We're going to do collective announcements again today. Okay? So what we got going on Mondays on Blog Talk?
Nothing.
That's what I'm talking about. Tuesday, what's going on?
Training day.
What time?
4 o'clock.
Who teaches?
Richard Overall.
There we go. Where else can you get his teaching if you're not listening on Blog Talk?
YouTube.
4 o'clock Tuesdays on Blog Talk or on YouTube. What we got going on Wednesdays? Okay, so do you need a book? You need a textbook, right? If you don't have a book, where do you go to get the book?
Amazon.
RFCM.org. Church website.
Well, we usually go to Amazon.
Church website, RFCM.org, if you need the book. Questions are at the back of the assignments. Deaconess Rebecca Johnson will be teaching this week, speaking about separating the sheep from the goats.
All right.
What we got on Thursdays?
Nothing.
Okay. He's about to get excommunicated. All right. What's on Friday?
Bring back
the family. What time?
7 o'clock.
Where? Who is the host?
Kathy.
Very good. What are we talking about?
The
kids. Amen. All right. So if you go to the church website, which is what?
RFCM.org.
What can you get on the church website?
Everything.
Specifics.
Good job.
You all can't say nothing. Y'all two can't say nothing. What can you get on the church website? Everything that you need. Questions, if you need employment, if you need books, if you need resources, if you need a lawyer, if you need whatever. The church website. And how much does it cost? It's free, right? Amen. Okay. So if you want to pay tithes and offerings, church website. Let's see. We do have a prayer list that will be coming up. So, you know, we got Doris and all the mothers and Terrence, empty space right here. So just keep everybody, you know, lifted in prayer. I've got a long list, but again, the list will be coming up. We heard Nicole got baby hairs coming in. Nicole Seabrooks. Happy for the little hair coming in. So just keep her. Now, Janice said that, not me. She said earlier. Okay. So just keep Nicole lifted in prayer. All right. Again, there is the list coming up. Birthdays. All right. So Pastor Sarah. Cliff, Hunter, Malachi, me, Logan, Deandra, Isaiah, Beatrice, Ryan, Gia, Nicole, Seabrooks, and Lisa. Her birthday was on the 21st. That's why she got a dress on today. It's all in love. Look, it's better than Janet saying she was a guest when she got here this morning. She dressed up. The rest of us are not. She does not belong, but it's okay. It's okay. All right. Okay, so your devotional for this week is from Dr. Tony Evans, and it is entitled, What is Faith? Now, we had a faith sermon yesterday from Sarah, if you did not listen to the show yesterday, please do yourself a favor. Because I think we all, in some point or another, struggle with our faith. Sometimes we don't think we have enough. I don't think any of us thinks that we have more than enough faith. So if you listen to her message, about building your faith, and come on in, girl, building your faith and growing your faith and what you have to do for that to happen, you will be blessed by the message. If you just, if you don't listen to anything else on Blog Talk, please go back and listen to her message yesterday, because your faith is foundational to everything else that goes on in your life. Amen. So the devotional is entitled, What is Faith? What do we mean when we talk about faith? We use the word a lot, but it's a concept that many of us have found hard to grasp. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 defines it well. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What this tells us is that faith is based on content. It's not just about vague feelings, nor is it a question of how much faith you have. It's about what you are trusting in and how that is reflected by your actions, by the movement of your feet. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. It's acting like it is, so even when it's not, so in order that it might be, so, wait a minute, I gotta read this again. It's acting like it is even, okay. I'm trying to read it in my Dr. Tony Evans voice, because y'all know how he say stuff. Okay, it's acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Okay. Right. I'm like, you gotta read it like it ain't for it to make sense, right? Okay.
Okay.
So you shouldn't look to your feelings first, because feelings change all the time. Instead, look at your feet first. In what direction are you moving? Are you operating in obedience to God? When you look at the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll discover that the people listed in that chapter are included because of what they did in response to what God did. God moves in response to faith because faith is a critical mechanism for seeing and experiencing the supernatural realm as it enters into the natural realm. Faith is substantial, but faith deals with what you cannot yet see, and that's what we have a struggle with. We want what we see to match up, but that's not what faith is. If you put seeing before faith, then it really isn't faith at all. Faith is anticipating what you are looking forward to. Faith is about expectation, and the biblical word for that is hope. When you and I learn to expect big things from God and move in sync with Him through obedience, which is the essence of faith, then we will see more of God in our everyday circumstances. We will have more hope. And we know that's something that hope is, people are struggling with hope. Faith doesn't force God to do what He never planned to do, but it accesses what He has already planned to do as He sees that we are trusting in Him to do it. So, the question we should be asking ourselves is this: am I doing what God has asked me to do in light of what He wants to do in me and through me in the midst of my circumstances? The Bible makes it clear that faith is so important that its absence can get in the way of God doing what He intends to do. That's because He is waiting on our faith to manifest itself before He does what He has already determined to do. This means that if you want to grow your faith, you must grow in your perception of the bigness of God. The bigger you understand Him to be, the easier it will be to trust Him. Conversely, the smaller you see Him, the harder it is to trust Him. Therefore, focus our faith should not be on how much faith we can muster, but on, Therefore, our focus should not be on how much faith we can muster, but on coming to know God more fully so that we can have greater confidence in Him for all of the circumstances in our lives. Faith is not an event. It is a lifestyle. So let's grow in our embrace of faith so that we can see more of God at work in our daily choices, actions, and expectations. There's a lot more He is ready to do when He knows we are trusting Him to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you for your class participation.
Well, my sister.
You can excommunicate.
And by now we know what time it is. It's time for offering. Get your envelopes together, and our deacon is going to come and pass the basket during this next song. So stand in your feet, folks. I see Lorenzo is finding his voice. Next in three. I think you want to do announcements.
In the Lord, always and again I say, rejoice in the Lord, always and again.
Alright, amen.
All right.
That is good.
I hear it all the time.
I thought y'all was gonna be churching for a minute. Somebody. It is time for prayer. You may be seated, or you can stand, or you can just do whatever you need to. This is the time where we don't spectate, but we participate. Because we all get to go to the throne of grace.
Oh, yes.
Yes. You know Jesus, you've been washed.
Yes.
You've been made whole. Yes. And you've been given access to God. Anytime, any place, anywhere, any circumstance, any situation. He's not some grand genie or grandfather. He is our Father who loves us. And he wants to hear from us. So as we remember, we started the prayer list. My brother Darius, we're trying to get him to the top of that list. Amen.
Right, amen. Right now.
Right, and of course, Nicole, like I said, she's coming along. She came out yesterday.
Okay.
She's in her radiation treatments now. So, and it's moving along well. So thank God. Keep my brother Ed in prayer as always, because we just a constant reminder of what God will and can do.
Amen.
And Alex in prayer, she prepares to lead us. Next month, we're going to focus definitely on our schools and our students.
Yeah.
Nicole, of course, in prayer. Naomi in prayer. Harley in prayer. Pastor Terrence in prayer. Kathy Tindy in prayer. And many, 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 many others who we all need prayer.
Yes,
we all need prayer.
Yes.
So these are just a few people we're focusing on. So as we go to the throne, there are people on your mind and heart. Pray for them.
Yes.
I'm praying out loud. You're talking to God with me. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, this morning we thank you.
Thanks.
We thank you for the blessed privilege to be called your children.
Yes.
We thank you because of Jesus, we have been named and called the sons of God. So we can come before your throne as your children and talk to you as our Father. We can come to you knowing that you're not like earthly fathers who don't listen to their children or are absent, or who just don't know what to do. You are the one who is present, and you know what to do. So Lord, we're just coming to you, thanking you first and foremost for Jesus. Because if he had not made the choice to come, we would be lost. But he decided long before this earth was created that he would come and he would become the sacrifice necessary to make us holy. So we thank you and praise you because it's all because of Jesus. We pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit have his way with each and every one of us, as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as he dwells in us and with us every day to lead us, to guide us, to point us in the right direction so that we don't miss what you have for us, Lord. And also, he is there to help us during these times when we are grieving and sick and struggling and confused and tired and alone, that we are never without your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, because no matter what we go through, we are never alone, because you have promised you will never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. And Lord, as we know this list, we also remember Doris and Nakia, Lord. We pray for all caregivers out there, Father. They're carrying a burden. We pray their supernatural strength to sustain them as they go through these days, Lord. Lord, we also pray for this nation.
Yes.
Lord, this place where we live, we see trouble not just on every part of our nation, but around the world. Every nation is in turmoil, Father. But Lord, we are the people who have been kept in this nation. We are your people who serve your kingdom and serve your king to do his will and not the will of our culture, not the will of our government, but the will of our God.
Yes.
Lord, help us stay committed to keeping our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Because he came and he perfectly fulfilled your will so much that you said Old Testament, Old Law, complete, because Jesus did.
Yes.
And then you entered us into this new covenant, this covenant of faith, this covenant of love, this covenant of power. So we are not subject to any other authority but yours. We praise you because wherever we are, wherever we go, whether we're on the job, we're in the grocery store, we're on the street, we're in our homes, we get to represent the true and living King.
Yes.
And not only represent him, but to do your will. Father, let that be our prayer every day. Let us lay down our lives and sacrifice for those around us. As we've learned in the word, we're going to keep hearing, Lord, you have put us here to flourish.
Yes.
And you want everything around us and everybody around us, from creation to created human beings, to flourish. Lord, help us be about your business each and every day. Lord, you've already given the word to your servant. Open his heart to hear your lead and follow your guidance to help us to continue to grow in following you. And we'll be careful to praise you and give you all the thanks. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sing a song of love to you. Good morning, church.
Good morning. Good morning.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Amen.
That's Psalms 118, verse 26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am pleased to introduce our very own shepherd, pastor of our church of teaching, learning, and doing, where we come as we are to receive spiritual steak and collard greens, but no dessert. Our very own pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, will continue his sermon series titled 1 Corinthians, Part 12. And the text is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, and verses 23 through 26. So that's chapter number 11, verses 1 through 6, and verses 23 through 26. And it reads as follows. I am so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts, and that you are following the teachings I passed on to you. But there is one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. A man dishonors his head if he covers his head while praying or prophesying. But a woman dishonors her head if she prays or prophesies without a covering on her head, for this is the same as shaving her head.
Okay.
Yes, if she refuses to wear a head covering, she should cut off all her hair. But since it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut or her head shaved, she should wear a covering. This is verse 23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen.
Amen.
So, repeat after me.
Okay.
Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Well,
yes,
well. The only thing that I can say that she was going to get you out of fit. She out of fit. Amen. I want to thank the praise team for doing another excellent job. If y'all missing Saturday church school, Sunday church school with Janice, or even with Sarah with the kids, you're really missing something, you know. Amen. I'm learning quite a bit on Saturdays, or getting refreshed quite a bit on Saturdays, and it's what we need to know. Not just knowing what we believe, that's good, but why we believe it is much better. Amen.
Amen.
So get involved and bless yourself, and bless yourself on purpose on Wednesday. We got various teachers. Yes. Rebecca gonna be teaching this Wednesday. She's gonna be talking about the sheep and the goats.
Right, right.
You might want to find out if you're a sheep or a goat and what difference that makes. Amen. Yes. And what we supposed to be doing that demonstrates whether we are a sheep or a goat. Because there is a demonstration. I ain't going to teach your class, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the book of Corinthians. We thank you for the Corinthians who are willing to share their mishaps with us so that we might see what it's like growing up to be a mature Christian. We thank you, Lord, for the Corinthians again, because if it had not been for their crapped out behavior, Paul would have never heard from the lady from the house of Chloe, and they would have never really asked them those questions they asked him from chapter 7 on. But because they did, because these problems existed in that church, we're a church. And the same problem that existed there exists here. And we thank you for showing us the way out. You said it in your word, with every temptation, you will show us a way of escape. Yes. Help us, Lord, to see it and take it. Thank you again for the Corinthians. Bless this word into your people's hearts so it can get lived out in their everyday life, so that the faith that we heard preached about yesterday is realized. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wasn't able to be in the service yesterday, so I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for my last minute call. I had to go see the tooth man. The teethest man. And because I have more than one tooth, so it's plural, teethest. Amen. That's the way you say it. Or either tooths. With Amen. Man. Or tooths or teethest. Which one you like? Teethest is better. Amen. My man, Brother Rogers, he cool. Get you in, get you out. Amen.
Yes, I definitely.
He's cool. He is real cool. That's my homie. Every time I knock one out, he put it right back in. My man. Amen. Yeah, had a week this week. I think this week was one of those 8-day weeks. The devil came real hard, and he was relentless from day to day to day. Okay, but he didn't win.
Okay.
We fought all week, but he didn't win. Every once in a while, you're going to notice that the devil comes out with a big, giant attack.
Yes. Okay.
You know, every once in a while, he's going to catch you and then just launch. You're going to get permission from Jesus to come at you in those areas where you probably need to grow a little bit, and he's going to attack. And then you're going to recognize, you know what, I need to be better than that in this area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so when the attack is over, all you got to do is think Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for the good of those who what? Love God and are called according to his purpose. So all the things that we go through, amen, God going to make it work out for our good.
Amen.
I ain't saying it's good to go through it.
No.
But it's going to be good to come from it.
Right.
Amen. And that's the good news. Okay, on last week, we left off in chapter 10. We were talking about basically three things. We were talking about idolatry, and God wanted to give the people a warning that we shouldn't act like the children of Israel who did, worshiping everything but God. Ain't it amazing that God gives us everything and does everything for us, but we'll worship anything but God?
Yeah.
We'll allow a person, place, thing, or thought to take precedence over God. Amen. So we got to deal with idolatry. We got to watch for it. We got to make sure, amen, that we are being vigilant and recognize that we are not the devil, okay? Not the devil. But we are not placing any person, place, thing, or thought ahead of God.
Okay.
That keeps us from becoming who God is turning us into, or keeps us from the things God wants us to have so that we can affect his will on earth.
Okay.
Everything that God wants us to have is not a house, it's not money, it's not cars, it's not, hey, Nico, what's up? It's not clothes, amen. Amen, I'm looking over here looking for a mirror and I see Nico. I'm like, either a miracle didn't happen or that's Nico, right? Amen. That was quick, though. Amen. Amen. So be careful about idolatry. The next one was a hard subject because, you know, all of us, if you've been in this life for more than 5 or 6 years, sexual immorality is a thing. Amen.
Okay.
And from time to time, you know, we've all been there, wanted to go there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to be circumspect in that area. Start paying attention. Are you doing things God's way or are you doing things to satisfy your own lust? James tells us, let us not say that when we are tempted by God. But the truth of the matter, James tells us, is we are enticed, drawn away by our own lust. And when lust is fully conceived, it brings forth happiness and joy. No, the word is death. And death don't mean you drop to the ground. Death means you've messed up your relationship with God. Amen. Anything separated from God is dead. Any unsaved person in the world is a dead man, dead woman, dead child walking if the child has reached the age of accountability. Amen? So what we do is we separate ourselves from God. So we cannot continuously be sexually immoral. Yes, God knows how he made us. He knows that we have urges. He knows that we have desires. Amen. But if you heard Janice yesterday in her class, you would hear this world is not like God intended it to be. And when we fail, our lusts are not like they're supposed to be. If we're lusting, if we were still in the garden in innocence, it would be after God. It would not be after things God told us to do a certain kind of way. Amen. Told us in what? Hebrews chapter 13, that which bed is not defiled? The marriage bed. That means every other bed is defiled. That is sexual immorality. The Corinthians were really messed up in that area. There was a young guy in chapter 5 dating his mother. And in the temple that they had, the church they called it, they had 1,000 temple priestesses. We would call them prostitutes, and we would call it the Mustang Ranch or the brothel. Amen. But they called it church. In that church, they had more men than women. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, the only reason they did is because they were going to church. They would have sex with the temple priests as the prostitutes, then go home, have sex with their wives so they could have children to make their family last long. So now here Paul comes and teaches them a whole new way of doing things. And they're like, man, what you're saying is strange to our ears. And we really don't want to hear that. But he was saying, hey, you're a Christian now. When Jesus approached me back in 77 about that stuff, he said, you're a Christian now. You're going to have to do things different. Okay, so that's what Paul is telling them. Here's the way God wants us. Here's the way you're doing it. Bring these two together to where it's just this one, less of this one, and more of that one. I remember Natrice Jackson, she helped us out because we felt overwhelmed. Because if you know Natrice, right? Nikki, she can teach.
Yeah.
She'd make you start crying, amen, because you'd be so convicted. Because she's bringing a real raw word out to you. But she eased us up. You know what she said? She said, look, yesterday you lied 100 times. Today, if you lied 99 times, you're getting better. Amen. So don't overwhelm yourself. All right? Try to get to where God wants you as quick as you can, but don't overwhelm yourself. Jesus is bringing you there. When he raises up these things, all he's doing, he's not saying, tomorrow I need you to be perfect, because that's not going to happen on earth. That ain't going to happen on earth. Amen? But what he is saying is, look, I'm highlighting this area. You know why he highlights those areas? Because, see, he got this blessing over here for you. But this is stopping you from getting to that. If you listen to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, that's what you heard. This is stopping you from getting this. God wanted the children of Israel to go where? To the promised land. Why didn't they get there? Idolatry, sexual immorality, and grumbling. That was number three. They grumbled a lot. Do we do that?
Yes.
Do we say, Lord, you came too slow? If you had, are we like Mary and Martha?
Yeah.
If you had been here, Jesus, like you was when you was eating at our house, Jesus, when you and your boys was reclining all over the living room with their smelly feet, Jesus, amen. If you had been here, that's saying, if you really read what they said, you know, if you understand periods and commas and exclamation points, you see a lot of that in there. They wanted Jesus to know, we love you, but we kind of upset you weren't here on time. That kind of grumbling can get you in trouble with God. It means you don't trust God. Or it means you're just using God to do what you want God to do for you.
Okay.
So you grumble when you don't. You know how kids, that cat was sitting back there telling that little kid, look, you want me to get my switch? You want me to get, because the little kid was, he was grumbling. Amen. The cat had enough of the grumbling. Said, okay, let's get up. We're going to get that switch. Anybody, parents, ever get enough of them and say, okay, that's enough, come on. Amen. Well, mine did, a lot. My father would say, it's time to go to the basement, let's go. Time to hold the pole. Hold the pole, whip it on last long. Let the pole go, it's going to last. So don't forget those three things, right? Be mindful about idolatry. Because the devil will do everything he can to do like he did Adam and Eve. Right. Draw you away from God. He will ask you, what did God say? Then he'll tell you that don't really mean that. God understands how he made you. And the next thing you know, you're into idolatry. You're giving another person, place, thing, or thought precedence over God. You are sharing your allegiance. He talked about that in some of those verses in chapter 10. He said, don't go down to the temple I just told you about, and then come back and go to church. You can't go out here and sin with the temple priestesses and then come up in here and sing hallelujah songs. You can't go over to the devil's house and hang out with him and then come over to God's house and hang out with him. See, the Lord ain't going to play that. He's going to just let you hang out with the devil. Mm-hmm. Remember the story in Luke chapter 15 when that boy wanted to do his own thing, opposite of what his father wanted? What had to happen? You got to go.
Yeah.
And did the father let him go?
Yeah.
He will let you go too. Because he know you're going to get out there. Further you get away from God, the devil hitting on him. First, the devil tricked the boy into spending all his money. And living like he thought he wanted to live. He went straight to the club. And he got his little gun machine, put all his money in it. Now he's shooting it at the stage. He making it rain. Amen. Pretty soon he pulled the trigger on the gun, ain't nothing come out. And all his brand new friends was like, dude, you broke. I don't even broke people. The Bible says nobody gave him anything. But thank God that we're Christians and have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because sooner or later, after we get far enough away from the Lord, the Holy Ghost is going to say, this is better than what you had before. You're about to eat pig food. You are about to eat what the, not what the, you ain't gonna eat the pig. You ain't making no pork chop. You finna eat what they eat.
That's right.
And it look good to you.
Yeah.
You need to go back home. I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but you need to go back home. And then all of a sudden, Chardonnay, the Bible says he came to his senses. And he remembered how it was in his father's house. Amen.
Yes.
That's why we should remember our life with God. That's why it tells us that we should not complain about anything. Philippians 4, right? Don't complain about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Amen.
Yes.
And remember what God has already done. That's the formula to get the perfect peace. Amen.
Yes.
He came to his senses. Amen. And he started telling God stuff. And he decided, I'm going back home. You know how many times I went through that prodigal experience? I joined the same church 6 times. I ate with the pigs 6 times. Before I was like, you know, I need a new diet, okay? This ain't working. So Paul says, don't be hanging out with the devil. And then come to church and try to hang out with Jesus. That's not going to work. We can play each other. But because Jesus is omniscient, he knows everything, you can't play him.
Okay.
Because Jesus is omnipresent, was everywhere present at once, he was with you when you was there. Amen. He saw everything you did, heard everything you said. You can't play him. So you can't do all of that and then come in here and trick Jesus on Sunday morning saying, see how holy I am, Jesus? It's like, well, let me show you the video of yesterday. Amen. Let me show you the video of this morning. Amen. Okay, now talk about that holiness to me. Amen. All Jesus wanted to hear from us is what? 1 John 1:9. In 1 John 1:9, that first word confess, I learned from Janice, from the Greek it means agree. Amen. Jesus says that we should say, Lord, I agree with you. And that was raunchy what I did. And I know it. I below what you... It was terrible. Amen. Amen. I agree with you. I confess my sin. I agree with you that I was wrong and you're right. And you know what he does? He forgives. And then he just doesn't forgive, he cleanses. He helps us to get control over us. You know, we need to stop talking about the devil this, the devil that. It ain't the devil, it's us. It's a devil. The devil just agrees with us to do what us want to do. That's how he got Adam and Eve. He got them to, he agreed with them to do what they wanted to do. The only reason the devil went at them like that is because he knew that they had a problem with God.
Okay.
They had a problem with God being God over them. And he suggested to them, you know how he did, Job? The thing I feared the most has happened to me? How did the devil know what Job feared the most? Because those are the exact things he did to Job. It's the same with Adam and Eve. Somehow Satan figured out they didn't really want God to be God. They just needed to know why they didn't want God to be God. And here come the devil. You know why you don't want God to be God? One, he's a liar. Thou shalt not surely die if you eat this tree. You ain't gonna die. And he's jealous. He a hater. He hating on you. Why? Because he know if you eat from this tree, you're going to be like him. He don't want nobody to be like him. Nobody tell him what to do. Nobody tell him where to go, what to think. He a hater. So, and Adam and Eve like, you know, I thought so. And next thing you know, boom, got that fruit, bit into it. The devil is a lie. What is this? Eve, look at you. Look at you. Getting leaves. They naughty like this. This don't hide their shame. Amen. And then they heard God coming at them from where the tree at. And God say, Adam, where are you? He like, what you doing back here? Amen. You can't hide from God. Amen. So he'll get you in what you want to do. He summed this thing up by talking about that freedom that we have as Christians. All of us got a freedom. He has freed us. John chapter 8 says, those whom the Son sets free are free indeed.
Yes.
In other words, you can take it to the bank. God did it. You can rely on it. You can count on it. You are super free.
Okay.
But he also freed the children of Israel from Egypt, didn't he?
Yes.
How did that work out? How can you turn your back on the one who set you free? How many of us know Jesus set us free from the slavery to sin?
Yes.
Romans chapter 3 says you've been set free from sin. But don't take your freedom to indulge in sin so that grace might have something to do. In other words, I'm going to do what I do because forgiveness needs something to forgive. I'm going to do what I do because grace needs somebody to have unmerited favor on. So I'm going to give forgiveness and grace something to do. That's why I sin. Other than that, they won't have nothing to do. I want them to have something to do. Amen.
Amen.
He says over there in chapter 6 in the latter part, he says, instead, you've become slaves to righteousness, to Christ. So the same allegiance, now hear this, the same allegiance we gave sin when sin told us what to do, we did it. Well, he's saying you're now aligned with Christ. When Christ tells you what to do, do that. Use your freedom to serve God. Use your freedom to do righteous things. Use your freedom to do good things. Because Romans chapter 6 tells us when we were sinners, we couldn't do that. When we were sinners, we didn't have the heart to care for other people like the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. And now we can love like God loves. God tells a husband to love his wife like Christ loved the church. You can't tell an unsaved person that. Why are they not in Christ? But we're in Christ. So we get the opportunity to love like Christ loved. Now let me tell you something. That ain't easy. Loving another human being like Jesus loves you. Oh, that'll give you something to do all the way till you get up out of here.
Yeah.
Amen. That's going to be you all the way through life. You're going to be like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. But then guess what? Jesus be saying that about us.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Mm-hmm. But he loves us. Every morning we wake up, he knew exactly what we're going to do that whole day. But he loves us 100% through the whole day.
Yeah.
Amen. He closes out chapter 10 by making it simple. He gonna break it down for us. Amen. He gonna make it plain. Y'all have no idea what that does for me. The Lord know I need that, or I can't preach like this. I'm a I got to be introduced junkie. I don't even understand it, but I just do not act right when it don't happen. Amen. Amen. He said, whatever you do, like Reverend E.M. Brown told me, if you cannot thank God for it, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Okay.
If you can't say, Lord, bless me in what I'm about to do, you probably shouldn't do it. So he says, whatever you do, make sure it's to the glory of God. It's what I'm about to say. It's what I'm about to do. Is that going to glorify God? And when you ask that question, when I go shopping, in my spending, will it glorify God? Will God say, you're a good steward? I like how you handle my money I give you. You're a good steward. Oh, you've been faithful over that little bit I gave you. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you faithful over many things. Or does God say, yeah, we need a little bit more help in that area.
Okay.
A little bit more forgiveness. God wants us to be prosperous, y'all. So everything we do in every part of our lives, like Dr. Tony Evans liked to say, bring our whole life, what? Under the comprehensive will of God. That includes what? Your personal, family, church, and civic life. In all your ways, what? And he'll do what? All your ways. So if you can't acknowledge the way you're getting ready to go to God, you probably shouldn't go that way. Amen.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Then in chapter 11, it starts out with what you see me do, you do. Okay? That's what Paul is telling them. As you see me living for Christ, you live for Christ. That's what I want you to do. Now, why is that verse, the ending of chapter 10, over in chapter 11? I asked Jesus that question. If that verse goes with chapter 10, why is it verse 1 in chapter 11? I had to do quite a bit of studying, so I'm going to break it down for y'all, give y'all the easy part. A lecturer in France in the years 1200 began the process of developing the Bible into the chapters and verses we have today.
Okay.
And by 1551 AD, the Bible was fully developed into the chapters and verses that we have today. The Bible didn't, up until that time, when people quoted scripture, they would say, in one place it says, and in another place it says, and even Paul uses that in these modern times. He's used that, why? Because he's an Old Testament saint, right? What I mean by that is he was raised off. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned Judaism in and out, up and down, forward and backwards, right? Mm-hmm. And so Paul would often say, in one place it says, and in another passage it says, without quoting scriptures and verses. Jesus taught me how to memorize the New Testament, each book of the Bible. This was the test. I have a set of the Bible, New Testament Bible, on DVDs. And in this set, it does not have chapters and verses. And what the Lord did was tell me when chapter 1 begins and chapter 1 begins and ends and where chapter 2 begins. He first taught me how to do that with the Gospel of John. After I had watched it, where you can see the verses and all of that and the chapter change, we went to the one where you couldn't. And we listened to the whole New Testament. And he said, tell me when that chapter ends and when that chapter begins. In that way, he taught me to know the whole story before I even tried to tell part of the story.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
It'll help you to know what God said. It'll help you to memorize the Bible.
Okay.
That's why I keep referring back to where we've been. I can tell if the Lord would let me, he ain't gonna let me, but I could, if he would let me, I could tell you what's happening from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 11 because of those tapes. He taught me how to know what's in each chapter.
Okay.
And what I discovered was I didn't get to understand chapters and verses. I got closer to God. The Lord was giving me, without me knowing it, that opportunity. James says, come near to me and I'll come near to you. Well, how do you come near to God? There's only one way. Study in the Word. studying the word and getting that word and keep it. Because if you read in the Old Testament, when they got up to speak like Moses, I love the book of Deuteronomy. He spoke that book in 2 hours and 8 minutes. There's 4 sections to it. And me and Jesus went through each section so I could learn what was in each section and why he was giving it. But he spoke that word verbatim. He didn't have no scroll in front of him. And when Ezra with Nehemiah read the Bible to the people from, get this, 8 in the morning to 12 noon. How many of y'all read from 8 in the morning to 12 noon? How many of y'all can listen to somebody from 8 in the morning to 12 noon? That's the way they was having church then. Today, we got these little crack churches where you get 20 minutes. Amen. You get a 20-minute word, and then you out. And before you know it, you need another 20 minutes. Before you know it, you're running around looking for... You look for a crack sermon, Nick. I might drop a crack sermon over here. I need a quick sermon, amen. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it's something. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Your little rock run out, now you all of a sudden somebody might drop one. Amen. Cela and I were listening to T.D. Jakes one day. And we thought, crack sermon, 20 minutes, we out. But then he went past 20 minutes. Okay, crack and a half sermon. Amen. Then he went past an hour. And then it went to 1 hour and 6 minutes. And that was one service. But you know what they do? They take them sermons and they chop them up and make them 15 to 20 minutes long. And they leave themselves 10 minutes for advertising. Amen. Wow. Avetrius went down to Texas at Dr. Tony Evans' church. His sermon lasts 20 minutes, isn't it?
Well, a little longer because he cleaned the feet of all his deacons. And he said, because I do not stand higher than anyone in my church on earth. So that took a little longer. Give him another 15.
Woo! If you go down there and it's a regular Sunday, he'll preach at least 45 minutes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
45 minutes. Amen. Mm-hmm. But we get crack sermons because you know why? They know that we will not take God that long. We live in a different age, a different time, and our lives are busy, our heads are cluttered, and so we don't have that much time. But that's a trick from the devil. Why? Because he knows that if you sit there and give God the time that he needs, the Holy Spirit, so he can teach you and train you and guide you in all truth, he knows you're going to become a threat to the devil's kingdom. What he wants you to go is halfway worded up to work so the devil can just assign a demon to you, harass the crap out of you all day long, and you don't accomplish nothing for the kingdom. Your only prayer is, Lord, kill them people. Lord, make my boss face fall off, Lord. Amen. Lord, this person in front of me who's supposed to be going 70 but going 55 in the fast lane, make their wheels fall off. Amen. See, yeah, Beatrice, that'd be me too. I ain't learned yet. Amen. Amen. I'm praying for him. So Paul says, what you see me doing, you do that. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Okay.
Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if you see me fighting with Barnabas, I'm not following Christ. Don't follow that. Mm-hmm. But if you see me following Christ, follow that. Mm-hmm. Amen. What you've seen in me. Amen. Repeat that behavior. Okay. Amen. Now he gets into a subject in chapter 11. Amen. That has troubled the church. Amen. From that day to this day. Who is in charge? The man or the women or both? What is God's proper alignment? Can women be preachers? Can women be teachers and teach men? Amen?
Okay.
What he is talking about is proper alignment. Doing things God's way. Because look, if you don't do things God's way, do not think God is blessing you to not do things his way. Just because it might seem like you're getting by, you're not. What you're being is disobedient and you're not properly aligned. And so You have no idea how much disaster you're opening yourself up to when you block God out because you're not doing things God's way. Those people did not get to the promised land because they would not do things God's way. God wanted them to come to the promised land, told Egypt up to get them out so they could go to the promised land, parted the Red Sea, gave them manna from heaven. None of it worked. Why? Because they wouldn't obey God. They were out of alignment. And when you put your, Janice told us a long time ago, look, when we were dealing with Dr. Tony Evans, right? She pictured an umbrella over her head. And it's raining. But she's not wet because she's under this cover. But if you step out from under the cover, whose fault is it that you're getting soaked and waterlogged? That's yours. That's your problem. Why? Because you've uncovered yourself. You've gotten out of alignment with the umbrella. And now you're getting wet. And it's amazing how much we complain when we get wet. And you're holding an umbrella over here. You look crazy. You're a Christian, right? And if you're not under Christ, you look crazy. Why are you not under Christ? The prodigal son down there hanging out with them, spending up all his money in riotous living. Do you know those people probably figured out that they probably knew he was a Jew? He's in a place where they got pigs, so it ain't a Jew. It's not a Jewish country. He went into a far country, far away from where he should be. And so he's out from under God's cover. He's not out from under God altogether, but he's sure enough out from under the cover, and he is getting wet. So what Paul is talking about, see, in the Corinthian culture, there's so much you need to understand about this church. And me and Jesus talked about it yesterday, so I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. Corinth is a church that existed in Greece. If you heard Janice talking about the intertestamental period, she talked about who Israel ended up under after Babylon. It was the Medo-Persians. It was the Greeks. Now, how many of y'all remember the 300, the movie? Yeah. Leonidas. Guess what kind of helmets they wore? Corinthian. Right? They were made in Corinth. So, in Greece, they had different rules than the Jews. They had a different way of living than the Jews. They had different gods. One was these oracles. One, the most famous of all the oracles, was the Oracle at Delphi. They were, most people believe that they gave these prophecies because they were sitting in a cave that was filled with methane gas. And when that gas would exude from the rocks inside the cave, and they were caught up in there, they would get high. They would become delusional. And then they would just blurt out things. And if one of them things just happened to come true, that's the oracle. That's the person. That's how the devil does with astrology. He have us to read it. And we say, that is so true. That is so me. Oh, so now the devil is defining you. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so in the Greek culture, it was quite different from the Jewish culture. And then there were the ancient cultures. In the ancient culture, some of those women wore veils. Mm-hmm. In Middle Eastern cultures, they wore veils. This was a sign of submission, right? But in the Greek culture, women didn't wear veils, right? And now you have this Corinthian church was filled with a hodgepodge of different cultures, and everybody has come into Christianity, and everybody has come in with their culture. And in something like, for instance, the Jews could not own land. A Jewish woman couldn't own no land, couldn't inherit nothing, right? That's why if you read about what I like to call the Zelophehad incident, it's this man, he died but didn't have no sons, and he had none but daughters left. And so the problem was, if the Lord said for us not to give up our land, then what are we going to do? They ended up having to marry their cousins. Amen. So that they could keep this land in the family line, right? Because those were God's rules, right? So, but in the Greek culture, it was quite different. How many of y'all remember from Acts chapter 16, the lady named Lydia? Well, Lydia was a seller of purple who lived in the city of what? Thyatira, right? So she ain't no Jew, right? So if she's a seller of purple, she owns houses there and businesses there, and she owns houses here in Philippi and businesses here. So she's from there doing business here and doing business there. She meets Paul. Paul leads her to Christ. She tells Paul, if you found me to be faithful and a true believer in Christ, my confession is real, then come and stay at my house. She didn't say my husband's house. She said, come stay at my house. How many of y'all remember the lady over in Acts chapter 9? Her name was Dorcas or Tabitha, which means gazelle, which means leaping and bounding. The Bible says she was always doing good deeds and helping people. Y'all remember her, right? Well, Dorcas, about that time, she died. And guess where they had her home going service at? In the upper room in her house. If you was listening to Pastor Janice, you heard her teach about most Jews lived in a one-room house. And the men would go up on the roof at night to sleep because it was cooler up there. But most of them lived in a one-room house. Everybody was in that one room. It's like having a bedroom and everybody living in there. Could you imagine that? So Dorcas owned houses. So in the Corinthian church now, there's a bunch of different cultures and a bunch of different behaviors going on. In some cultures, women were subordinate to men. In other cultures, not so much. So Paul seeks to bring them all under one roof, to bring all those different cultures together under Christ. And he tells them, this is God's order. What is God's order? God's order in the Bible is Adam was created first. Was there Eve? No. There was just Adam. There was Adam under God, right? Then God took a rib from Adam and made Eve. And God brought Eve to Adam and they became husband and wife. So God's alignment is husband, wife, then kids. That's God's alignment. Amen?
Okay.
In other words, Adam is under who?
God.
And what did Paul say? I want you to know that every man is where? Under who?
God.
Under Christ, right? Under God with Adam, because Christ is still not in the world as present yet. But in the New Testament, he is what? Very present, ascended and back in heaven. So every man is under Christ. That's the beginning of the alignment.
Okay.
So ladies, when you go out to find yourself a husband, amen, or God trying to take you to somebody, that person going to be saved. Why? Because if the man is not under Christ, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You do not have no idea what you said. Satan trying to become your boss. When the two shall become one, you married to somebody who don't belong to God, who don't listen to God, well, guess what? They become the head of your house. And so you find yourself under somebody who don't follow God. Where are they going to lead you? Where can they lead you? Can y'all pray together? Rebecca wants to read something, I could tell. She wants to read. I could just tell. She's just sitting there like, oh, I hope you tell me to read something. She wants to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to the end for some reason. Go ahead, Rebecca. Go ahead, stand up and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to the end.
She just got to read it.
I'm up here preaching. She's like, I'm going to read something.
Of the living God, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14-18.
Thank you.
Amen. That was one of the passages the Lord wanted me to learn when I was going to look for a second wife.
Okay.
I told Jesus I would never get married again after what happened to me in my first marriage. But then 2 weeks later, my manhood popped out. And so I had to go talk to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I know what I said 2 weeks ago, but I'm over that. I need another wife. And so so from 1980 to 1984, I went in search. And I got so mad in 84 that I went back to church again. And I told Jesus, I'm sick of this. This is just going to be me and you, Jesus. I don't even want nobody. 6 million people on the planet, and ain't none of them right for me. I'm going back to church. And that's when I met Sheila. Amen. But what I was looking for was another wife. I wasn't looking for no Christian woman. She just had to be fine. She had to be just like I like them. Amen. And see, that's what I did the first time. Amen. And that thing went crazy on me. Amen. Well, Sharon say I am out of time, but I am not through. So next week we're going to pick it up right where we left off. Look at them. They're looking back at them like, oh, so she did it. Amen. Yeah, blame her. That's right. Amen. So we're going to pick this conversation up next week, where we're going to continue our discussion on proper alignment. Why? Because if you're properly aligned with God, He has blessings, okay, in store for you. Your next step is in that alignment. If you are misaligned, this just sits over here. It's yours. Nobody else can have it, because what God has for you is for you. Nobody else can get it, so you don't have to worry about it. But because of this misproper alignment with Him, you can't get that. You ever notice something that after you start doing a certain thing God's way, all of a sudden this opened up? That was always there.
Amen.
God got blessings waiting on you. In store. Nobody else can have them, Cheryl, but you. But when you get where God wants you, then you're going to get what God wants you to have. See, the children of Israel never did get it. They never did. They came out of the promised land. They were walking toward it, but they never did get there. They could not stay properly aligned with God. So God told them, they told God, look, everything in the promised land is just like you said. It's there, just like you said it was. It was houses that we didn't build. It was land, okay, that we didn't farm. It was trees that we didn't grow. It were orchards that we didn't plant. Grapes to be picked that we didn't plant. Okay, it's all there. But guess what they said? They also have walls over there. They also got fighting men over there. They also got a this and that over there. And we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And we felt like grasshoppers.
Right.
You know what God said to them? Since you judge yourselves unworthy of what I want to give you, you're not getting it. Stay in this wilderness. Since you like, okay, we're going to time out. Since we like this wilderness so much, since you like this wilderness living so much, you're going to die here. In other words, what that means is you will never realize the promises that God had in store for you. And it wasn't that God didn't have them in store for you. It's because you wouldn't properly align yourself with Him to get them. Amen?
Amen.
God know what you want. He know what your heart's desire. It is God's good pleasure to give you what? The desire of your heart. So He know what's there. But to get it, you got to do what God tells you to do. Amen? Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us your word. We thank you for teaching us about proper alignment, about idolatry, about sexual immorality, about grumbling against you. Help us, Lord, this week to make sure that we give thought to everything we do to see if it glorifies you or not. And if not, Lord, let us take the strength that you've already given us. Let us use our mustard seed of faith to bring down this mountain that stands between us and what you have for us. We don't want to be like the children of Israel. Let us heed the warning and not be like them. You said that these things were written for our example, that we might not sin against you like they did.
All right.
Let us take the example, Father, and get what the second generation of Israel got. They got into the promised land. They didn't stay there long, but they got into it. Help us, Lord, to understand that you're not trying to take us to a worse place in life, but the place in life that we actually want to be. Father, we have heard from Pastor Janice Tate and her teaching that this is not the Zoe life. This is not the life as it was intended to be. But help us, Father, to be who you intend us to be so that we can affect your will in heaven on earth. So that if it ain't right nowhere else in our house, it is. In our lives, it is. In your name, Jesus, we give you all the thanks, the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Rev.
Praise the Lord. Praise him.
Reverend.
Sir.
All right, you guys. We have Harley here, and she wants to talk about the summer program that she did, so we need everybody's undivided attention because she's nervous.
Okay.
Thank you for sending me all the money for Waysafe, and I really liked it there, and it was fun things there, and Waysafe University, and it was a good college and a good program, and I'm going to go again next year.
All right.
I had a chance to visit with Doris Gaither and Nakia Gaither. I visited Doris last Sunday. I was just like when I went to visit Nico. I was only supposed to be there for 15 minutes. Tops. I was there from 12:30 to 3 because she had some conversation with her fault. Just like Nico, I went to visit her one time for 15 minutes and we were there for 2 hours. It was her fault she had the conversation. And, but she wants y'all to know that she sends her love and she hasn't forgotten about us and we haven't forgotten about her. And I want to thank you guys for what you did to make their lives easier. All I'll say about that, you blessed her. And bless Nakia, her caregiver, at the same time.
Okay.
So God bless you guys for your giving, because in your giving, you bless them.
Okay.
To give guys a real hard time.
Amen.
So 12:30.
Stand to your feet. Eric trying to get somewhere by 12:30. You gotta make sure you get there. Go to work. Nick is going to work. Amen. They're going to come running in here. They hear the music. They all left. They literally did. Because usually the kids, here he comes. I got some.
There we go.
Come on.
There we go.
This is my man right here. I'm getting him a shirt.
I'm going to be your agent.
As soon as we find a better agent.
They'll get you a contract.
Thank you.
church because it's just like free. They take it over. But y'all know what? This is a sign of a healthy church. Yes. Let us receive our benediction. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. God, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. If anybody needs questions for the Saturday morning class, they're right here.
All right.